past 9 o'clock.
It's time for more 92.9 The Game tonight as we get you caught up with all things Atlanta sports and beyond.
On Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. Going to get to outside the perimeter in just a moment, but I got to bring in onto air something I was just talking with Dom Cheroski about. And Dom, you are not a big nap guy, and I am a huge proponent of the nap. I think it should be, first off, like, we already know it's accepted in other countries. Yeah. They just don't call them naps. Mm-hmm. But, like, so is drinking during the day. But, you know, whatever. I'm a big nap guy. I try and take a nap pretty much every day. I took one a day after sleeping for, like, 13 hours overnight. And so, like, I'm a big nap guy, and you are not. And, yeah. And look, not everyone has the time or ability to actually take a nap. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent. I don't know how else to say it. I think it should be way more available to adults, acceptable to do.
Yeah.
I think part of it's the stigma of being an adult, and I just don't care.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I
was supposed to be on a phone call with someone with the Falcons earlier today, and he was like, "How about 2 o'clock?" And I'm like,
"It's nap time, man.
What are the other options?" I didn't tell him I was taking a nap.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't tell him like, "Hey, man, probably still gonna be asleep. I'm taking a nap today, bro." But I was like, "Can we do later? Like, is later possible?" We found a time that worked, and it was fine. But like, yeah, I didn't text back and be like, "Oh, that's I might be still be napping." As a 39-year-old man, I might still be napping.
Yeah, that doesn't come
across the best. No, I did a nice workout today. I was tired from the run, and I had issues with sleep on Monday, so I was a little laggy. But like, naps are important, man. Like,
absolutely. No, I agree. I think it's just that I've always also just been someone in general who's like, I'll sleep when I'm dead. So like, it's pretty like normal that I only get like 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night, and then like naps for me just don't really it just never was a thing for me. And then also I think some people take naps and I'm like, no, you're not taking a nap, you're going to sleep, because you're asleep for like 3-4
sometimes
hours.
I'll do that. Now, I used to do that a lot more when I was working in the mornings and doing morning shows, and you're waking up at 2 a.m whatever. I would just go back to sleep, because you very rarely got more than 4 hours at night. But like now I've hit a groove where I'm like willing to let myself sleep for 2 hours,
doze off,
and it's like 40 minutes. Like, it's never long right now. I'm always disappointed. I'm always like, because then I got to kill time to like, I always like back time it to what I need to be awake for. Then I got to kill time.
Yeah, I just, even when I do, like on the rare chance that I do, and like I am tired enough, and I'm like, all right, I need to take a nap. I'm same. Like, I'm only getting 30 minutes. Like. 30-40
minutes.
Yeah,
it's a little
nap.
power
little
sleep.
Cat nap, and then that's it. That's all you're getting out of me.
I used to love and still love the Saturday nap leading right into college football. You wake up early, you go for a run, or for me now I'm hosting college football game time, right?
Yeah.
Normally, and by the way, this week I'm going to be on college football game time all the way until noon with John Fricke from 10 to noon, with Garrett Chapman 8 to 10. Normally, if I'm just doing 8 to 10, like, I'll go home, I'll get a dog walk in with Chipper, and then I got an hour. Like, I'll finish the dog walk by 11. Yeah. I'm like, set the alarm at 11:58. Because I don't care about watching college game day or big game kickoff. Right. Set the alarm. That gives me like a minute and a half to like get the TV set up. All four squads going, screens going with the games I want. I'll take an hour nap right there.
That's
just break that in there.
That's a fantastic way to kill the time. I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at you if you do choose to take naps. I just think it
should be more socially acceptable by adults.
Yeah,
I very clearly am not one to hide that I enjoy napping. I take naps. I do think it probably helps throughout the day in general. It's odd for me because I don't get tired at the same time other people get tired.
Mm-hmm.
Like 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock is very difficult for me.
Mm.
Like, that's when I'll start to hit a wall and get real tired.
Mm-hmm.
It's then like during the night. By the way, the naps don't affect me at night. That's the other thing.
Okay.
Like, I can take a nap from 2:30 to 4.
Yeah.
And like at 8:30 be like, I think I'm going to bed.
Gotcha.
By the way, Tuesday, was that yesterday? Yesterday I went to bed at 7 o'clock. I did not watch any of the ALCS. I did not sleep at all Monday night, like maybe 2 hours, just dealing with some insomnia stuff.
Yeah.
And I was tired. I didn't take a nap on Tuesday. What did I do? I did something. Oh, I had to stay here for the interview with Rich.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So that cost me my general nap time in that 3 o'clock segment. And so I stayed up. I did some work on the rundown for this show, whatever. I went to bed at 7. And I woke up at like maybe 9:15 for about 45 seconds. Rolled back to bed. Yep. The dog comes in at 2 a.m. He's like, hey, what happened to the walk the rest of the night,
where's
man?
The night walk?
Like,
what's
you
going
gave
on?
Me a walk at 6. So I took her out. She made, quick business. And then I went right back to bed, dude. And then she didn't wake me up till later than normal. And I was asleep till 8:15 this morning, which is late for me.
Yeah.
I took her out. I went and did my civic duty to vote. I did the early voting, which is great. There was no line today. I went to Dunwoody Library.
Very nice.
I was told by one of the gentlemen there that the line was like 45 minutes long yesterday.
Oh, hey, look at you. Picked
took
the right
took
day.
Me 4 minutes in and out. Now, I'm a very proficient clicker, so maybe it'll take someone a little slower than me,
yeah,
5 minutes.
Yeah, a little
minutes,
longer,
but it was great to get in and out and not have to deal with a line today. So, and then I hit the gym. So, like, it still had a pretty accomplished
very full,
morning,
productive day.
Despite,
Absolutely.
I also took a nap. That's why I couldn't talk to one of the guys at the Falcons. That's all that. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. Back into the show. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. You can follow me online on Twitter, at Abe Gordon, the X, whatever you want to call it, at Abe Gordon right there. Let's go. It's OTP.
It's time for Outside the Perimeter on 92.9 The Game tonight.
The part of the show, every show, where I talk about the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. The ALCS, which I completely missed last night, is a 2-0 affair to the New York Yankees. They have taken the first two from the Cleveland Guardians and are halfway to making it to the World Series. The NLCS right now tied 1-1 in games, and at last glance, it was the Dodgers with a 2-0 lead. They have worked themselves in and out of trouble all night from the Mets, but I believe it is still 2-0 when it gets back from commercial break. I will look to confirm if that is still the score. A trio of trades in the NFL. The Raiders traded Devontae Adams to the Jets for a conditional third. Could become a second. And then this got announced today in relation to that trade. Devontae Adams is going to wear number 17. Rookie wide receiver Malachi Corley agreed to give him the number, and he's going to wear number 14 now. We have yet to determine whether or not Corley will receive, quote, a gift from Devontae Adams for number 17. So there you go. Browns trade wide receiver Amari Cooper to the Bills for a pick swap. Very interested to see. The Bills are a dangerous team, and they remain to be dangerous. And this should go well for them offensively. And the Vikings have acquired Cam Akers in a trade. And Akers is very familiar with the Kevin O'Connell offense, and so that could help boost them as well. You know, I talked about this on Sunday morning. It is still 2-0, by the way. The Dodgers did just get back from commercial break. 2-0 there. I talked about this Sunday morning when I was hosting the ABTL show, and I had someone yell at me on Twitter, and I feel mildly justified now. But Bears tight end Cole Kmet, who scored 2 touchdowns in the game, he was pressed into emergency duty because the Bears long snapper was injured early in this game. And I said, hey, man, like, it's just something to look at. Like, where are the snaps? And we didn't even get a punt. I mean, the Jaguars couldn't force Caleb Williams to a punt. And I mostly wanted to see a punt snap more than the field goal snap. I think there's more can go wrong on a punt snap. The first field goal snap looked fine. The second one was a little high and tight, but the holder got it down, and everything was fine from there. I feel justified because Cole Kmet was named NFC Special Teams Player of the Week after being used as that emergency long snapper. Now, couple things. That means there were not any really good candidates. Like, let's start there. I think that's fair. Because, like, I don't know, we've seen, like, although didn't Jake Bates set a team record for points? Didn't he score 17 points in this game? The win against whoever they blew out. They put up, like, 40-something points. I think Jake Bates, maybe they were all shorties. I don't know. But Cole Kmet, 2 touchdowns and special teams player of the week. So congratulations to him. The NCAA has made a mid-season rule change to account for the intentional 12-man penalty used by Oregon and Dan Lanning in the win over Ohio State. I'll get to the changes to the rules in a moment. But I told this to Andy Bunker, the midday show host, there with Andy and Randy. I said, if it was intentional, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. He certainly claimed it was. If it was intentional, I know there's an ego thing because it was a great move, right? It was a brilliant mastermind play. But don't claim it. Don't tell people it was on purpose. Because if they know that you took advantage of a rule, they're going to change the rule. And Andy asked me, oh, what would the change be? I was like, they just revert the game clock. That's going to be the new rule. They will just revert the game clock to what it was. So instead of being able to save this and use it for another time, you make people pat you on the back and call you a genius coach. And it was a genius move. It won you an important game. But because you took credit for it, the NCAA has now changed the rules. You could have used it again. That's all I was suggesting. If you keep quiet and, like, just let it happen, like, just be like, yeah, it was a big mistake, and we got to be tighter on this. Like, it could have been, maybe they don't change the rule, but since you said, you don't point out the loophole.
Yeah, no.
You take advantage of the loophole without pointing it out. That's the thing.
If he goes out there and is like, it's unacceptable, we can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go out there and
be
pissed about it.
Yeah. When you're playing a game, if you find a loophole, you don't tell everyone about it.
Yeah, you don't say anything.
You just continually take advantage
of the
loophole.
That's your ace up the sleeve.
There's a glitch. So the new rule is if the extra man – this is, by the way, not the official language. I'm just explaining it to you. If the extra man is determined to have an impact on the play, the game clock will revert to what it was. If the player's trying to get off the field has no impact on the play, they say the game clock will remain as it runs. And so that's the big difference. And again – just take advantage, man. Like, don't let people know. Don't let people know. They won't point it out.
That's like when people, like, learn that, like, a trick on how to get free food from a drive-thru. And,
I was going to say a pricing error. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, they post it and, like, oh, if you guys do this. And it's like, well, now they know about it. So, like,
yeah, they're
going
to correct it. They're going to change it. Don't do that. But you're not supposed to be able to, like, pair coupons together, but it pairs. By the way, those extreme couponers who get money back, like, whew, the audacity to sit there and tell the store, you guys owe me $1.38. Like, just take your free food, man.
I worked at a CVS, and we had a couple of people who would come in there and do extreme couponing. And every time I was, like, just impressed by the fact that, like, you've got, like,
yeah, way too much time, and that's fine. But, like, just take it all zeros. Like, don't be like, you guys owe me store credit. Like, that's enough. Like, get out of here. All right, there you go. That's outside the perimeter. I didn't even get to the baseball stuff. We may do that at the end of the show. But coming up next, Raheem Morris, the Atlanta Falcons head coach, joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We'll hear what he had to say and what he told the guys that has me a little bit excited for Sunday. That's all coming your way next. It is 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon in the studio tonight until 10 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Keeping me up all night with this.
Back to more 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here live in the Kia Studios. I'm here at the home base, but earlier today, Dukes and Bell were not. They were out there at Flowery Branch, the Ticketmaster Studios, as they try and take a trip out there every Wednesday, unless the Falcons have a odd schedule change like they did a couple of weeks ago to prepare for Thursday night football. But they were out there at the Flowery Branch today, and they had an opportunity to sit down with the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Raheem Morris. And they started out by asking if there was any anger or panic with the team being at halftime in another close game.
For me, no. It's more about poise at that moment.
So, like, when you go in at halftime, like, this league, this is a tough league. Like, it's very hard to win in, right? So what you were mad at, upset about, that you didn't finish the half the right way. Because realistically, with that second quarter, it was going exactly how you would like it to go and what you want to happen. And then you give them the ball back with no timeouts. You got to get a stop, go into the halftime, come out, have the ball, and then put yourself right in position to go out and close the game out. But we gave them life. We gave them a little bit of a resuscitation at the end of the half, let them go down there and score. When you had a chance, really 9 out of 10 times where you could see Clark pick that ball off, and we did not, right? And we had other opportunities within that drive. So, like, for me, it was less about anger. It was more about regaining the guy's poise, right? Because sometimes when you're a football team and you're learning how to win, you have to figure out how to close those moments. And that was one of the moments we failed at, and that was one of the first times we failed at this year, in a closing moment. You know what I mean? Because we've had the Tampa game. We've had New Orleans. We've had Philly. We've had all these moments where we've closed it and felt what it felt like and felt that exuberation of joy from a fan standpoint, from a coach standpoint, that when I got into the locker room, I knew that was a great time for poise.
The edge rush, and I know that we've checked all the boxes. Like, what's up with Cousins? He looks fine. Where's up with Pitts? Pitts is a bigger part of the offense. And now we're harping on the edge rush. Let me ask you this. We saw Ebba Cady get 6 sacks last year. Does he fit Jimmy? Is it things he needs to do differently, or how's Jimmy likes using him? Because we love what we got with Judon, but where are we not getting, I guess, the other bookend to come and get the quarterback?
Well, I actually stole a sack from Ebba Cady this week. You know, he actually had a sack on the 2nd and 10. The guy walked out of bounds, and he touched him. I took the penalty. Didn't know it was a sack at the time. Ended up being 2nd and 20, which is the smart thing to do. But then you go back, you're like, oh! I took a sack from him. So AK has actually been one of our better pass rushers this year. And what he's been able to do, and he's been kind of playing sparingly, and he's got more and more play time as we go. To now, he's one of the lead dog guys to go out there with Matthew Judon and try to get after the quarterback, especially pass rush situation. So we got to get more opportunities for him to do that. You know, and last game we had, I believe it was 13 hits. I think this is a PFF grade, but, you know, I forget the exact number right now because we're almost a week removed. But we had 13 hits. We had 3 hits on it. We had 3 hits on a quarterback and 13 rushes and hurries, or whatever you want to call it. So we actually did a better job of rushing the passer. We just didn't finish it, right? We fell off one for a 20-yard scramble. I took away a sack with the 2nd and 10, taking a penalty and making it 2nd and 20, which I didn't know at the time. And then actually we hit the quarterback a couple other times, and we couldn't get him to the ground. And we got to finish those deals off in order to become a really good pass rush. And, like, hey, man, like, I'm all about that. That's going to be a focus point. And, like, you got to embrace talking about it, especially in these moments with you guys, because, like, I've done nothing but tell you guys the truth, right? We got to get better in that area. That's something that we got to focus on. AK's got to be more of a focal part of that, and we got to go out there and get those things done.
Coach Ra, today you were talking about, and I'm curious to know, I guess, why we're discussing changing London's designation with Drake, and I'm like, that's how it was explained to me. But what are we talking about here with Drake London?
What do you mean, changing his designation?
Well, I guess for the X, the Z, the Y, we use Drake in so many different ways. Is there something new here?
Well, with our offense, we can move around just about anywhere we want to move him, right? And, like, within the structure of the offense, let's call him a Z.
Okay.
Right? So he's our Z. Like, he had, when he got here, I think he was starting off playing X. And the other offense that he played in with Arthur Smith, he was playing the X. We got here immediately and put him at Z. We wanted to be our Z. We wanted to have that Puka Nacua, you know, that Cooper Kupp, that interchangeable piece type of deal that you can do with him. And he's playing a lot more for us inside, what some people would call as an F. So we're moving around, making them a focal point, making it harder for defense to key on them. And we're doing that with all our guys. And when you have a guy you want to do that with, it puts pressure on the other guys. And luckily, we got a smart guy in Mooney, a smart guy in Ray-Ray, obviously a smart guy in Cordero coming in, being able to play all three. And those guys can move around and do different things for us. And I was trying to explain, we were talking about it, you know, from coaching staff. You get in there, you really give these guys grade, and you're like talking, like, hey, man, if we can just get a little bit more out of from Drake in this area. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, he's at the focal point of the run game a lot of the time.
Coach Ra is with us here, guys, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And we said to start the season, just like when you were a rookie coach in Tampa, there's a learning curve for everybody. I just think as a fan, to watch the points go up every week, and it seems like Zach Robinson, he's talked about it. He goes, oh, I got all sorts of plays I want to dial up. Just need more, obviously get more reps to get it going. How satisfied are you with the evolution of the offense?
I don't even want to call it an evolution, right? I just think every single week you got to have a growth mindset. And it's like just same thing we talked about with the pass rush. I think you come in and you improve certain things that you want to improve every single week. From the first week, it was protection. right? TJ came in, like, got after us, and they had a nice pass rush, and they were on the cadence and wanted to fix protection, number one. Next was, you know, what it was third down at one point we talked about, and it's the growth mindset of getting those things together. And I think when you do those things, you got to add on. You can't fall off while you're fixing something else. So it's like the addition of the growth mindset that the whole team has, the offense has, the defense has, in order to get better and better every single week. And no different than the defense, right? The growth mindset of what we have in second halves of defenses right now, to close out games, to be finishers, making that a part of their identity, has to, you have to say that it's been outstanding, and it's like something that I love.
As we talk about ways to win, right, we ran the ball down their throat last week. Week before, we saw our quarterback throw for 500 yards. You've been on Super Bowl teams. You've been around Super Bowl caliber teams. Where is this team right now when you look at the makeup and the versatility of what we've seen through 6 weeks? By no means am I going to say we're a Super Bowl team, but you've been around those kind of teams. What are you seeing with us?
We're in a good place. You know, you're 4-2. You're tied for leading the division. You got the tiebreaker right now to put you on top. And you got to keep winning because you can control your own destiny, right? The thing about this league is, the only thing you can ask for, especially this early in the season, is to have the pen. And we got the pen, so we can write the story. So, like, that's the things you want for. The hard part in this league is when you're chasing, right? And right now we got the pen, and we got to continue to write our story, right? But the only way you can do that is go through your process, go to practice, get to the games, find ways to win, and continue that growth mindset that we're talking about. So, like, that's where we're at. Right, if you start thinking about things that are out of your control or out of your grasp at this moment, you lose sight on what's the most important thing, and the most important thing is this Sunday.
The next matchup is Seattle, and we know that you know, Geno's had a great resurgence out there, and we see that certainly you got to find a way to try to keep him from moving around too much. Yeah. But they also, I'm not going to bore you with the stats because you probably know it already, but it looks like we may have some success running the ball against those guys. Just based on what the numbers say.
You know, again, every week's a different deal. You right. know, like, their coaches are saying the same thing. Right. They're having a growth mindset in their run game and what they're going to do and how they're going to stop us. They had the extra days come off a Thursday night game. And, you know, we got to go out there and prepare to exploit what we can. And we got to go out there and prepare what we can take advantage of when they give it to us. And then sometimes you got to take what they give you. And that's what we've done the last couple of weeks, have been taking what people have given us. And it's worked out well for us.
You've coached wide receivers. You've coached great wide receivers. Metcalf's a big dude. How do we try to defend him? I know teams are doing different things, but just his physical stature allows him to do some different things on the field, right?
You know, I'm really excited about that matchup with him and AJ, and watching those guys go out there and compete. Like, that, AJ has one of the toughest jobs on the team every single week, right? You go out
right.
First week of the season, you got Pickens. Next week of the season, you got this guy. Then you got Deontay Johnson last week. And you're going to go out there and you're going to match that guy up with those guys that we know how much money they make.
right.
Every single week. And they don't make that money by mistake. They make it because they earn it. And he has to go out there and play. And they're going to make catches. They're going to have receptions. And you got to keep fighting. And the one thing we know about AJ, he's a fighter. He's going to go out there no matter what and keep going. And no better example than what he did last week. Stand in the fight, covering Deontay, and then at the end, boom, steps in front of the last minute and gets a pick.
What about the run defense? I know, and I guess if we were to ask you, what are our concerns as Falcon fans? Is it finishing, which you've talked about, and maybe better run defense? Are those two things that we could focus on, or at least say, hey, those are things that we feel like we need to improve on?
So how many yards did they get last week about?
Well, Hubbard had 92, but yes, they ran for 114.
So they had the 92 yards of Hubbard, and they really got a lot of it in the second half when they were moving the ball down the field, and we hold up and held them to three.
Right.
Right. We got better in our run defense just by holding them off and stopping some of those things. We let a couple out leaky yardage there late, and we got to eliminate those. The 20-yard scramble can't happen. And if that doesn't happen, we're not at the 100 mark. We're somewhere in the 90s, and you're feeling better about the improvement of what you're doing every single week. So every single week, we've improved in those things. Our off-the-linebacker play, Nate Landman coming back, all of those type of things up front. We're able to do some different things in how we want to play it, how we want to not give away some gaps and be more gap sound, some of those things. So those are all part of the growth mindset. So I feel really good about where we're going and what we can do to improve that as well.
I know when we talk about the defense, we already covered, like, after the quarterback, the blitz thing. Is that just basically through feel, or do you design a game plan going into the week where we're going to be a little more blitz-centric this game?
Well, you know, it just depends on the game. We've had games out there where we were way more blitz-centric, to steal your word. And then there's been other games where, like last week, we kind of set back and we made them go the long way. And that was kind of the philosophy last week and what we did, particularly later in the down. Open up a couple more run gaps for you to do it when you're playing with two high safeties. But, you know, hey, you got to go find ways to win each week, and our guys are doing that.
Raheem Morris with this guy's weekly visit with head coach Raheem Morris with the Atlanta Falcons. Coach, any plans with Terry and this team to look to improve edge rush? We've seen teams last couple of days make moves. There seems to be more action around the league than in years past where teams are making trades. But for you and Terry, the front office, are you looking to improve the edge rush?
I think Terry is as crazy as you guys know. So he's constantly devouring rosters, constantly looking to improve, constantly looking to do things. So nothing would shock me when it comes to Terry, Ryan Pace, Kyle Smith, and those guys getting together and figuring out something else and making moves. We were talking about this, you know, in the beginning of the season. Matthew Judon showed up, Justin Simmons showed up because they're obsessed. And when you're obsessed with football and getting better and doing the right things, that's an awesome quality to have in the business. So nothing would shock me.
Right.
And my job, obviously, right now is to find ways to win football games and then to field questions when they come or field phone calls, so to speak, when they come and talk about it and explore. And obviously, our guys, I got the utmost confidence in those guys.
Coach, what do we need to do to get a dub on Sunday? I mean, listen, third downs were a concern. They're not, right? They weren't. We're moving the ball in various ways. Run game was off the hook. We got turnovers. These are things that are building. We've done this the last few weeks. What do we need to do against Seattle?
You know, for us, you got to go out there and stop the run. They got a really good running back in Kenneth Walker. Got a lot of respect for him. They got Charbonnet out there as well. And we can't let them get that run game established, right? And that's what you got to go out there and stop. These guys have moved the ball in tempo and got to control their tempo. They got on the ball, getting the calls from the sideline, like you kind of seen in college ball with Ryan Grubbs, moving a bunch of yardage, right? So we got to go out there and limit those things. We got to continue to get turnovers. On offense, we got to go out there and continue to move the chains on third down, keep those guys off the field, win the time of possession game, which we've done the last couple of weeks, and find a way to win. And then, like, on special teams, we've been opportunistic, and, like, it's been fun to watch our special teams go out there and play because they're exciting, you know, blocking a punt or whatever you call it when it tips and goes that way.
Right.
That's a block punt in my book, but
yeah.
Whatever you want to call that, it's like those guys have been exciting. I mean, we got a touchdown. We got two touchdowns on special teams. We have block kicks. We have, you know, forced missed kicks. We got a bunch of exciting things on special teams, so it's fun to watch those guys play.
There he is, Raheem Morris, getting ready for a big game here at home, Mercedes-Benz Stadium on Sunday, an opportunity for another NFC win, an opportunity to bank another win in general. And Falcons are trending in the right direction on offense, need to ramp it up on the other side of the ball a little bit, and we know that all starts with the pass rush, and we'll see if they can get that going. We'll also be, I talked about this earlier, but defensive coordinator Jimmy Lake is going to join the midday show tomorrow. Andy and Randy will have an opportunity to ask him how they can get that pass rush ramped up when he joins at 12:40. When we come back here on 92.9 The Game tonight, we're going to put a little bow on tonight. A couple stories from Major League Baseball I didn't get to in Outside the Perimeter. A quick chat about what the Hawks have got going on tonight in a preseason warm-up. And a glance at the college football schedule beyond just Georgia and Texas. So only one segment, but a lot still to come. It is Abe Gordon live in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Pace yourselves. It's going to be a crazy night.
This is 92.9 The Game tonight.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. 92.9 The Game tonight. Abe Gordon here. Wrapping things up. The Atlanta Hawks they got, 7.5 minutes left here in the fourth quarter. They're trailing the Miami Heat by 10. It's the preseason. We talked about it. Not overly caring of the results. I'm looking for reasons to be excited and a couple of different things within the performance of the team and of the players. And we talked about it. There's a back-to-back for the Atlanta Hawks. This game with Miami tonight was canceled a week ago because of Hurricane Milton. And so a lot of people aren't playing tonight. Okongwu's on the bench. I know he's dealing with some stuff, but Reza Shea didn't play. DeAndre Hunter didn't play. Seth Lundy didn't play. Bogey's not playing. So we may get an opportunity to see some of them tomorrow night. But of the guys that are playing, right, Jalen Johnson, and he's, I would imagine, done for the night. He put in 17 minutes. 4 of 4 from three from Jalen Johnson, a team-high 21 points tonight. Trey Young, 2 of 2 from three. He's got 7 assists on the night. And Dyson Daniels, who's got 9 points, he was 3 of 6 from three. And look, if Dyson Daniels is going to shoot 50%, he's going to find a potential starting spot in this lineup as well. Did not record a steal, but that's okay. Kobe Bufkin got 2 blocks tonight, so how about that? But we might get a better look at Zach Risacher tomorrow. Well, I mean, it'd have to be better because we didn't get any look at him tonight. So that's that. But good stuff from Jalen Johnson. Again, 4 of 4 from 3, 8 of 9 from the field overall. 21 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, and a steal in this one. So good stuff there from Jalen Johnson. The Atlanta Hawks probably going to lose. But again, not overly invested in the results of the preseason games. But definitely nice to see some of the numbers that are being put up. A couple stories real quick in Major League Baseball I found interesting. Tropicana Field, which is where the Tampa Bay Rays play, the Trop, unlikely to be ready for opening day 2025. Obviously, due to we were just talking about Hurricane Milton canceling this Hawks game. We saw the roof being torn off of the Trop, the video there in the aftermath. So they're going to be looking for alternate ballparks. And look, they got the Tampa Yankees have a stadium right across the bay. If it's in Tampa Bay, and I'm not sure the Rays want the opening of playing games in Tampa. So they might have to figure something out. I don't know if Clearwater still has the Threshers Stadium. They used to, and there's a couple minor league stadiums that are in discussion. They're also maybe talking about Lone Depot Park, which is where the Miami Marlins play. They could offset home games and road games and all that stuff. Why not Truist? I don't know if Truist will be open, but why not Truist? It's better use of the battery on days that the Braves take road trips. And it's not like you're going to go down to Miami and have Tampa Bay Rays fans like flocking to games. Like, I think I'd rather play at Truist than... But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. And the other news in Major League Baseball is Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner of the White Sox, reportedly is willing to sell. Now, like, I'm reportedly willing to stop hosting for the right amount of money. Like, is that what we're talking about? Yeah, I'm willing to sell. It's going to cost you $3.5 billion. And I know that this team's only worth $800 million, but for 3.5, I would be willing to sell. Like, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Where he's like, yeah, there's a price, all right. Yeah, I'll consider it. But, like, again,
reportedly is doing a lot of work there.
There's a price that can get me off of 92.9 the game. If any of you guys, the haters out there, I mean, there's a price.
If you never want to hear Abe on 92.9 the game,
you better start a GoFundMe. That price has some commas, it's got some zeros, but there's a price. That's like Jerry Reinsdorf. Yeah, there's a price. Yeah, sure.
I'm willing,
his probably has more commas than my
probably.
Price.
Probably. Just
not,
a few
not
more.
By many.
I'll say just a few more.
Not by many. You're going to have to rack up some bucks to just get me to agree.
Get you out of here.
Yeah. A lot of NIL deals. That's all I'm saying. I'm figure that out. Speaking of NIL deals, college football's in week 8. We talked about it with Chip Brown, and you can find that interview up on 92.9thegame.com on the website, also the Odyssey app. Chip Brown joined me earlier of Horns 24/7, chatting about the Texas Longhorns and the Georgia game coming up on Saturday. It's not the only good one on Saturday. You've got Alabama at Tennessee. This is a huge game for both of them. You know, Tennessee's still got a game with the Georgia Bulldogs looming. If Tennessee drops this one, they may be out. Now, maybe not initially out, but down the road out. And so it's a big one for Tennessee at home. If you're Bama, you can't lose two road games to teams in Tennessee. Nashville, you got, obviously, Vandy, and then Knoxville with Tennessee. And this is a huge game rivalry-wise. And Alabama struggled, and they need to put it together. They need to find whatever they had in the first half against Georgia. It has not looked anywhere near as good since halftime of that game. Right here in our backyard, Notre Dame visits Georgia Tech. Notre Dame, the 12th-ranked team in the country. This is a game being played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Still waiting for an update on Haynes King. Georgia Tech's not winning this game without Haynes King. They may not win the game with Haynes King, but they're definitely not winning the game without Haynes King. But I was hoping this would be an interesting game. It may ultimately not be. One game I don't think people are talking about enough is number 6 Miami at Louisville. This is noon on ABC. Miami's one of those teams that is currently undefeated. They're in the top 10. But they've also been the beneficiary of some late-game officiating decisions twice, in my opinion. Other people may say just once, but in my opinion, twice. We know about the Hail Mary against Stanford, a game they should have lost. I also thought there was a pass interference that went uncalled against Cal. Also an illegal receiver downfield that went in favor of Miami on a game-winning touchdown against Cal in that game. But Miami going on the road to Louisville, and I think we've seen Louisville, they can get you. They got a pass offense that can cook. And Ja'Cory Brooks is a very dangerous receiver, and so really interested to see that one. The Indiana Hoosiers, my alma mater. Indiana Hoosiers undefeated right now, 6-0. They're hosting Nebraska. It's a good Nebraska team, but it's a game Indiana should win. We'll talk about it on College Football Game Time. Indiana could be 10-2 at the end of the season. They actually could be 11-1 at the end of the season. Like, without too much of a stretch, they could be 11-1. They're not going to beat Ohio State at the Horseshoe. I think we understand that. That's a loss. But if they win the games they're supposed to, and that includes a home game against Michigan, they could be 11-1. But you got to focus on what's in front of you. Nebraska can get you if you overlook them, but Indiana should handle this one. South Carolina and Oklahoma, looking forward to this one. Michigan and Illinois. It's one of the few top 25 matchups. It doesn't feel that way because no one thinks Michigan's that good. Definitely don't think the Illini are that good, but it is a top 25 matchup. I think there's only three, right? Bama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas, and Michigan, Illinois. I think those are the three top 25 matchups. I might have missed one, but I think that's it. Colorado, Travis Hunter expected to return. He's only coming back to win a Heisman, in my opinion. The season's lost. I mean, they're not. They're good. They're better than maybe we thought, but they're not winning the Big 12. So the season's out the window. I don't know how much he could change his draft stock at this point. But he's coming back to try and win a Heisman.
Yeah,
he kind of made that obvious when he kind of dumped on Ashton Gentry a little bit.
He
was talking about himself and essentially said, like, we've seen good running backs. We've seen people come do what Ashton Gentry's doing, but we haven't seen people do what I'm doing. And I don't necessarily disagree with him.
Yeah.
I said that if he can get through the season healthy, he should win the Heisman. I still stand by that. But with a shoulder injury, I don't know how much he'll be able to play and to what level, all that stuff. But I'll keep an eye on that. LSU and Arkansas. Be very interesting to see what LSU squad we get, because we kind of buried LSU, kind of buried Texas A&M as well a little bit. And both of those teams have had a nice little resurgence. LSU, if they could get Nussmeier going, and they really didn't get him going until late the other night, but against against Ole Miss. If they can get Nussmeier going, that is a dangerous offense. And so we'll see what they can do on the road against Arkansas. That's also can be a dangerous offense, not always. Kentucky and Florida, Graham Mertz announced the out for the season due to a knee injury. It's DJ Lagway's time there at Florida, and it might be the best case scenario for Billy Napier to try and keep his job. He's got to get something out of DJ Lagway and potentially get some wins and start to roll things up there for the Florida Gators. All right, there you go. That is going to do it here on 92.9 The Game tonight. Appreciate you all listening. I also want to thank Dom Cherosky hanging out with me this evening. Both the on-air and off-air conversation was enjoyable. I will be back with the midday show tomorrow. We've got, again, Jimmy Lake, the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator at 12:40, maybe a couple minutes after that. And like I said, I'll do my best to get – I don't think I really have to, pry them too hard to, yo, Bucko, some of that pass rush, boss. I saw you blitzing out there. Didn't work, but I saw you doing it. What else can we do? So we'll get into Jimmy Lake and see if we can figure out how to get the pass rush going. Great job from Dukes of Bell talking to Jake Matthews and to Raheem Morris earlier today. Also want to thank from my show, Chip Brown of Horns 24/7 and First Down with Chip Brown, the podcast, and Rich Clark, the executive director of the College Football Playoff, the new and improved Bill Hancock, if you will. That's going to do it for me here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you want to continue the conversation off air, follow all the nonsense I've got going on College Football Saturdays or NFL Sundays At Abe Gordon on Twitter is where you do it. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up next, I believe it's Prep Sports Nation. Damian Date Lewis will have you covered for the next hour. So keep it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.